We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Go episode 776 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. It is a tag deadline day in the NFL. NFL teams have until Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern to apply franchise and transition tags on players. The Commanders are not tagging any players this offseason. General Manager Adam Peters made that clear last Tuesday during his post-press conference media scrum with reporters at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will not be franchise tagging receiver Mike Evans, as he's no longer set to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason. The Bucs and Evans have agreed on a contract extension. That news broke on Monday morning. Breaking on Monday afternoon was the news that the Denver Broncos have informed quarterback Russell Wilson that they will be releasing him after the start of the new league year, Wednesday, March 13th at 4 p.m. Eastern. That Wilson is being released by the Broncos, no surprise. But boy, what a debacle of a trade. The Broncos trading for Wilson 2 years ago. Remember the Commanders' trade pursuit of Wilson 2 years ago. We on March 8th, 2022, off the breaking news of the Seattle Seahawks having agreed to trade Wilson to the Broncos, learned more about the Commanders' trade offer for Wilson, including that the Commanders reportedly had offered the Seahawks three first-round picks. Yes, three first-round picks for Russell Wilson. The Broncos trade for Wilson goes down as one of the worst trades in NFL history. Imagine if our team had given up three first-round picks for Wilson, who thankfully had a no-trade clause in his contract and essentially chose the Broncos over the Commanders. Hello and welcome to this Tuesday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Well, Russell Wilson is about to be an unrestricted free agent. He was taken by the Seahawks in the third round of the 2012 NFL draft, a quarterback taken in the fourth round of the 2012 draft, also is set to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason. This is a quarterback who used to play for the Redskins. This is a quarterback whose mere name triggers people in all kinds of ways. And so I, on this podcast, have taken to calling this quarterback you know who. But for this episode of the podcast, I am lifting the ban on saying his name. For this episode of the podcast, I will say the name of you know who. So prepare yourselves, Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I said it. Kirk Cousins. His name is Kirk Cousins. And believe it or not, his name keeps coming up regarding the Commanders. Now, let me make something clear. I do not want the Commanders signing Kirk Cousins this offseason. And I say that as a Kirk fan. I say that as a Kirk jerk. I was one of the few people in the media who in 2012 cheered the Skins for drafting Kirk when they were getting lambasted by so many people in the media and by so many fans for drafting Kirk off having just traded up for the 2012 draft's number 2 overall pick, with which the Skins took another quarterback, a man named Robert Griffin III. I have been a defender of Kirk Cousins. My good friend Fred Smoot, the Commanders analyst, the former Skins corner, he has accused me of being on Kirkane, not cocaine, Kirkane. But I do not want the Commanders signing Kirk this offseason. I want them fixing their quarterback situation the right way, finding a franchise quarterback via the draft. Someone young, someone with upside, someone with whom our team can have the Holy Grail, a really good quarterback on a rookie contract. However, Kirk Cousins keeps coming up regarding the Commanders. None other than ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee show on Monday afternoon brought up the Commanders potentially signing Kirk. And so, next segment, a special guest to talk about the once unthinkable, perhaps actually happening. Washington bringing back Kirk Cousins. My next segment will speak with Matthew Caller, who is the host of a very popular Minnesota Vikings podcast, Purple Insider with Matthew Caller. He also is the founder of PurpleInsider.com. We will go in depth on where Kirk is at in his career, how things truly have gone for Kirk with the Vikings, whether there's merit to this idea of the Commanders signing Kirk, and more. And the more will include Matthew talking about former Vikings general manager and Commanders advisory committee member Rick Spielman. And the more will include Matthew telling us about his very popular book about pro football focus. The title of the book, Football is a Numbers Game, Pro Football Focus, and How a Data-Driven Approach Shook Up the Sport. You know, I've been doing this podcast for more than 3 years now. I have to say, I don't know that I ever expected to actually explore whether Washington should bring back Kirk Cousins. But here we are.
I want to be where I'm wanted.
Yes, thank you, Kirk. That was Kirk years ago during his contract dance, his contract cha-cha-cha, as I called it, with the Skins. Also on the show, the Wizards, their losing streak now at 15 games. The Wizards' record for this NBA regular season now at a league worst 9-52. I'll discuss a 127-115 loss for our Wizards at the Utah Jazz late night on Monday night, a game in which the Wizards allowed the Jazz to end the game on a 22-5 run. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Email from Stanley Evans on what we talked about on Monday's show, episode 775. The Commanders this past Friday afternoon announcing that they had released left tackle Charles Leno Jr. and tight end Logan Thomas. And we this past Friday afternoon had multiple reports that the Commanders have informed center Nick Gates that they are going to release him. Right, Stanley, just a thought, but I wonder if the Commanders cutting Leno means that they'll be considering trading back in the draft. Cutting Leno now brings up another position of need. Do the Commanders trade back and get J.J. McCarthy and extra picks in this draft in order to get a left tackle who the team really loves? Adam Peters already has indicated that he's not going to spend all of the available cap space this year. I'm wondering if the team is really going to take its time to build this thing up position by position. Thank you for the email, Stanley. The Commanders potentially trading down from their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft should be all about how they view the quarterbacks in the draft. Simple as that. If general manager Adam Peters and company really like a quarterback or multiple quarterbacks in this draft, and the way to get a quarterback who the team really likes is by staying at 2 or even trading up to 1, then trading down should not happen. But If Adam Peters and company really like a quarterback or multiple quarterbacks in this draft, and the team can get a quarterback who it really likes beyond the number two overall pick, then trading down can happen. And if Adam Peters and company do not really like any of the quarterbacks in this draft, then trading down should happen. Generally speaking, the way to do the NFL draft is by trading down, not by trading up. The NFL draft is a crapshoot. Every NFL draft has plenty of good players all over the place. And so the more picks, the better. However, nothing matters more than quarterback when you are a quarterback needy team, as our team is. So to me, the North Star for the Commanders with this draft is, what is the best way to get a quarterback who Adam Peters and company really like? The priority needs to be quarterback. Everything else should take a backseat to quarterback. And specific to left tackle, know this, the 2024 draft is considered to be a great draft for offensive tackles. 9 of the top 40 players on Pro Football Focus's big board for the 2024 draft are offensive tackles. Notre Dame's Joe Alt, number 6, Oregon State's Talisa Fuaga, number 10, Penn State's Olu Fashanu, who went to Gonzaga College High School in Washington, D.C., number 13, Alabama's J.C. Latham, number 19, Georgia's Amarius Mims, number 23, Washington's Troy Fautanu, number 25, Duke's Graham Barton, number 26, Oklahoma's Tyler Guyton, number 32, and Arizona's Jordan Morgan, number 40. The Commanders have 3 of the top 40 picks in the 2024 draft. The number 2 overall pick, the number 36 overall pick, and the number 40 overall pick. You'd think that our team could get at least one of these tackles, maybe even 2 of these tackles, via those second and third picks, pick number 36 overall and pick number 40 overall. Email from Adam on another former Skins quarterback who the Commanders could bring back. Not Kirk Cousins, someone else, writes Adam. Hello, Al. Love the show. You watch sports, so I don't have to. Going off you talking about the team potentially bringing in a veteran quarterback, I think that the perfect choice would be Colt McCoy. He knows Cliff Kingsbury's offense, and Colt would know that he would be coming to be the backup. What are your thoughts on Colt? Thank you for the email, Adam. Well, Colt McCoy was out of the NFL this past season. As you may remember, there was an expectation that Colt would be the Arizona Cardinals starting quarterback for their Week 1 game at the Commanders. But the Cardinals released Colt this past August 28th, and no other team has signed him since. So I'm not sure whether Colt still wants to play or still can play effectively. But yes, it is true that Colt was with the Commanders' new offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, during his time as the Cardinals head coach. Cliff was the Cardinals head coach from January 2019 to January 2023. Colt was with the Cardinals from March 2021 to this past August. So he and Cliff overlapped with the Cardinals for 2 seasons, the 2021 and 2022 seasons. Colt was with the Skins for 6 seasons, the 2014 through 2019 seasons. What if Washington this offseason brought back both Kirk Cousins and Colt McCoy? What would you think about that? Let's not do that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, please consider following this podcast if you're not already doing that. Following the podcast is free. If you have an iPhone, you can follow the podcast simply by tapping the plus sign in the upper right corner on the page listing the recent episodes of the podcast. So let us have the Kirk Cousins conversation regarding the Commanders. Kirk now has as many seasons with the Minnesota Vikings as he had with the Redskins, 6. The Skins took Kirk in the 4th round of the 2012 NFL draft out of Michigan State. He was with the Skins for the 2012 through 2017 seasons. The Vikings signed Kirk as an unrestricted free agent in March 2018. He has been with them for the 2018 through 2023 seasons. I am not going to do a whole history lesson on what went down with Kirk while he was on the Skins. There was a lot that went down with Kirk while he was on the Skins. But what is undeniable is that he gave Washington its best multi-season quarterback play since peak Mark Rippon. The peak of Mark Rippon was the 1989 through 1991 seasons. There, between Mark Rippon and Kirk Cousins, were Skins quarterbacks who had good individual seasons. Brad Johnson in 1999, Mark Brunell in 2005, Robert Griffin III in 2012, but it was not until Kirk became the Skins QB1 that our team again had a quarterback who had a multi-season run of quality play. Kirk, for the 2015 through 2017 seasons, was an upper half of the NFL QB1. He, for the 2015 and 2016 seasons, was arguably a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Here is Kirk's ranking among qualified NFL quarterbacks in ESPN's total QBR for each of his 3 regular seasons as the Skins QB1. 2015, number 6. 2016, number 6. 2017, number 17. As for Kirk with the Vikings, here is his ranking among qualified NFL quarterbacks in total QBR for each of his 6 regular seasons as the Vikings QB1, 2018, number 14, 2019, number 13, 2020, number 18, 2021, number 15, 2022, number 23, 2023, number 7. Kirk for the 2023 regular season was number 7 among all qualified NFL quarterbacks in total QBR, although that was an incomplete season. Kirk, this past October 29th, suffered a season-ending torn right Achilles tendon. Kirk is set to be an unrestricted free agent when NFL free agency for this offseason begins next week. Now, the Vikings could re-sign Kirk before the legal tampering period begins this Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern, but the Vikings cannot tag Kirk. Why? His contract reportedly includes a so-called no-tag clause, a clever clause by which the contract voids after the deadline to apply a tag. That deadline, in fact, is on this day, Tuesday, March 5th at 4 p.m. Eastern. Indeed, few players in NFL history have played the contract game as well as Kirk has played that game. How about this from a piece by ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter this past September 10th? Kirk, via by the Skins being franchise tagged in the 2016 and 2017 offseasons, and then with the Vikings signing multiple contracts filled with guaranteed money, is over the last 8 seasons estimated to have made $231.4 $469 million with 99.09% of that money guaranteed. That is something, man. So Kirk is costly. Kirk is coming off a torn right Achilles tendon. Kirk is entering his age 36 season. But the Commanders potentially signing Kirk keeps coming up. A good friend of this podcast, Commanders insider Ben Standing of The Athletic, he in a piece that came out on Sunday morning, wrote the following about the Commanders this offseason potentially signing Kirk. Quote, despite the tumultuous first stand, don't worry about whether the 2012 fourth round pick would return to Washington. He's open to it based on conversations with league sources in recent years. The money isn't an issue, even if a two-year, mostly guaranteed contract is around $80 million. Add void years to spread the cap charges, perhaps go higher in 2024, considering the significant cap space, and then a lower figure in 2025. End quote. The Commanders do have the salary cap space to sign Kirk this offseason, and signing him would allow for the possibility of having a true QB1, trading the number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft for additional draft capital, and perhaps still drafting a quarterback, say Michigan's J.J. McCarthy, or Oregon's Bo Nix, or Washington's Michael Penix. Also, how about this? Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee Show on Monday afternoon. Take a listen.
Washington, I think Washington's going to be open to anything, including moving back in the draft. So there's going to be a team that doesn't get Kirk Cousins. And it certainly sounds like right now Kirk Cousins will have as his primary two options, Atlanta and Minnesota, maybe Washington jumps in.
Whoa.
Maybe.
Whoa.
Yeah, maybe Washington jumps in.
Washington.
Maybe there's another team, but I think the two primary suitors for Kirk Cousins, I would expect to be Minnesota and Atlanta.
So, wow. Adam Schefter, none other than Adam Schefter, bringing up the Commanders as a possible landing spot for Kirk Cousins. Like I said, the Commanders potentially signing Kirk keeps coming up. For more on the Commanders potentially signing Kirk, I am very pleased to welcome back to the Al Galdi podcast Matthew Caller. Matthew is the host of an outstanding Vikings podcast, Purple Insider with Matthew Caller. He also is the founder of PurpleInsider.com, and he is the author of a book about Pro Football Focus. The title of that book, Football is a Numbers Game, Pro Football Focus, and How a Data-Driven Approach Shook Up the Sport. You can follow Matthew on X at Matthew Caller, and Caller is spelled C-O-L-L-E-R. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Oh, you know, just steeped in Kirk Cousins debate. What? How else would I be over the last 6 years? That has just been my life. Now, I saw that there was some buzz of Commanders and Kirk, and I just thought, no, that can't be a thing, right? I mean, not with the number two overall pick. You can't be considering putting on that team a 36-year-old veteran quarterback who got you exactly 8 or 9 wins every time he was there years before. That can't be a real consideration, is it?
Well, it is coming up. To what extent the Commanders are actually considering signing Kirk Cousins is hard to say, but let's first establish this. Do you expect the Vikings to re-sign Kirk?
At this moment, I do not, and I could be proven wrong very quickly by this, because none of us really know what Kirk Cousins and his representatives are thinking, but I think anybody who watched the Combine and listened to Kevin O'Connell's comments, or myself as part of our Vikings beat, we sat down with Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah on the side at the NFL Combine, and there was not a lot of indication that they think that Cousins is coming back. I think that Kevin O'Connell's appreciation for Cousins is very real, that he went 17-8 over 2 years. Same result as usual in the playoffs, losing to the Giants and then missing the playoffs this year after he got hurt. But I think those two did form a very close bond. But at the same time, the Vikings did not extend him last year. And when they did extend him in 2022, it was the shortest possible extension that they could do. They have never shown a buy-in fully to Kirk Cousins, which, I mean, over his career, there's only really been one time that any team has, and that was the Vikings in 2018. So this team has sort of kept its options open. And then from the GM's perspective, if you look at this entire roster, the Vikings have about 10 starting spots to fill, much less they don't have any backup offensive linemen or defensive linemen. Like, there's a lot to do, and I don't see how you get it done with giving Kirk Cousins more guaranteed money or how you would actually compete for a Super Bowl. From Washington's perspective, if I thought that that team was on the cusp and all they needed was Kirk Cousins and then there was a chance, then I would say, yeah, you know what, bring him back to D.C. But I don't see that team in that position. I see that team in perfect position to draft a quarterback at the top and then over a couple of years build out the rest of the roster around that guy's rookie quarterback contract, whether that's Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or J.J. McCarthy, whoever you like. They're in a perfect spot for that. The teams that are available for Kirk, like the Atlanta Falcons, like the Vegas Raiders, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, those teams are much more complete 53-man rosters that just need a quarterback, and I think at least one of them is going to throw down a bunch of guaranteed money saying, especially the Falcons, they haven't made the playoffs since 2017. Like, it's time for them. Their owner's 81 years old. Like, there's just better situations for Kirk, and there's teams that are much more desperate, I think, than a team like Washington or Minnesota.
I think that you're right. A big part of whichever team signs Kirk Cousins this offseason will be how the team believes that he'll age. He's entering his age 36 season, although we do now see quarterbacks play well in their late 30s and even 40s. But he's coming off a torn right Achilles tendon. He was playing well prior to suffering that injury. Do you see Kirk as a declining player, as a still quality quarterback? Where is Kirk at this point in his career?
Yeah, it's funny about when the Achilles injury happened, because had it happened 2 weeks earlier, we would have said that Kirk was fading, because you guys know all about the Kirk coaster, where he can convince you he's the best quarterback in the league or the worst quarterback in the league, depending on what month it is. I mean, he is like a hot and cold home run hitter, and he was at his absolute peak of hotness. That's a weird thing to say about Kirk Cousins, I guess, but he was playing great. He beat San Francisco at home and then went to Green Bay, played one of the best games he's ever played, and then he gets hurt late in that game. So the last impression was, wow, Kirk was playing great. I heard NFL Network say this morning, well, he was like on an MVP track. Okay, let's just calm down. Kirk Cousins is who Kirk Cousins is and always has been and always will be. Nothing ever really changes about him. He's great at the things he's great at, and he struggles with the things he struggles at. One of the struggles is dealing with pressure, turning the football over, fumbles a lot, throws a high number of interceptions the more you click up the volume. So, you know, if you're running play action and 25 passes a game, he's going to be highly efficient. If you turn that up a lot and want to throw 40 passes a game, then his efficiency goes down. The turnovers go up. The mobility was already at zero, so maybe that doesn't change with the Achilles injury. He's got enough arm strength if he is solidified in the pocket and can drive with his whole body. But if you ask him to run around, scramble, and then put any mustard on the football, it's probably not going to happen at this point in his career. I mean, I think that he could come back from this and be an effective quarterback and win a lot of games for a team that's really good. But Kirk Cousins has always been the accumulation of what's around him. So if you don't have a great offensive coordinator, you just lose. If a wide receiver gets hurt, you just lose. If you don't have a good defense, you just lose. Like, this is how it is. Now, if you're Atlanta and you have all these top draft picks and a defense you've been building and an exciting coaching staff, then you might have a chance to win in a poor division. If you are Washington or Minnesota and you've got tough divisions and a lot to overcome roster-wise, this just isn't going to be your guy. So I don't think that much had really changed about the way he was playing. Kevin O'Connell has said numerous times that he thought he was playing his best football. What I thought is, I've seen 6 years of this, and at times he looks absolutely marvelous, and at times he looks like, what's going on? I mean, they almost lost Carolina because Kirk Cousins played such a poor game, and then 2 weeks later they beat the San Francisco 49ers. Like, if any of us could ever figure out Kirk, then maybe we'd get paid more, Al. I mean, this is the problem with it always and forever with Kirk Cousins. Is at his best, he could totally make you think that he is Tom Brady. And at his worst, he looks like he should be a backup quarterback.
I hear ya. If you had to assign a letter grade based on whatever criteria that you want for the Vikings' Kirk Cousins experience over 6 seasons, what would that letter grade be?
So this is going to sound super harsh, but I'd give it an F because of where they were when they signed him and what the goals were. So this doesn't mean that he played like an F, okay? He played like an A-, which is kind of what he is as a quarterback. He's a B-plus, A-minus quarterback, but they didn't sign him to have a good quarterback rating. That wasn't the goal. The goal was, it wasn't to make them relevant or get them in the hunt. They signed him coming off a season where they went to the NFC Championship game, and anything short of a deep playoff run over 6 years that he's been here was going to be an F. You can't say, oh, well, it was okay. They had that one fun season. They were on Netflix. Good for them. It's not that there were no fun moments along the way. There certainly were, but the bar was you have to win in the playoffs because that's the team that was given to you. And this is why Mike Zimmer is the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator, not the Vikings head coach, because they failed to meet those goals. And they were given a roster that had everything in 2018 and 2019. I mean, every single position. There were probably a dozen guys who had a Pro Bowl on their resume on that team. Thielen, Diggs, a defense that had been number one in the NFL, and they missed the playoffs in 2018. They won one overtime playoff game as the sixth seed in 2019 and were quickly dealt with by the San Francisco 49ers. And then since then, zero playoff wins. They have had Justin Jefferson on his rookie contract for 4 years and have not won a single playoff game. I don't know how you could look at that and say, oh, it's worked out fine. I mean, just because you're Washington or you're the New York Jets or you're the Raiders and it's been a total disaster, you might say, well, we wish we had Kirk. Well, that's great. But the goal wasn't for this franchise just to be kind of hanging around and existing. And they did have the one good year in 2022. But as you know, probably, they had a negative point differential. They lost to a pretty bad Giants team in the playoffs. And the quintessential Kirk Cousins play in Minnesota is the check down on 4th and 8. Like, that was your shot. It was your best season. And you got a game-winning drive right here. Go get it. And on 4th and 8, he can't escape pressure, dumps it down to TJ Hockenson. And that will be the play that people talk about for 15 years with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, people in the Washington, D.C. area went nuts when that play happened. It does, though, seem like the likability of Kirk Cousins has gone up in recent years, that he, with the Vikings, is more liked than he was with the Skins. Perhaps a good bit of that has to do with how he came off in the Netflix series Quarterback that came out last July. But am I right in thinking that the Kirk Cousins approval rating is better now as compared to a few years ago?
Been such an interesting ride with that, and he owes the folks at Netflix a lot of money for this. That's part of it, but also, you know, I think that people follow the leader, right? Kevin O'Connell came in and he bought fully into Kirk, and he said, "You're going to be my guy." They had a previous relationship in Washington when O'Connell was the quarterback coach for Kirk, and so they knew each other, and I think he understood how Kirk's brain is wired and kind of what he needs, and he's a guy that needs a little more encouragement, a little more pat on the back, a little more communication than Mike Zimmer saying, go over there and play quarterback and don't talk to me. I think Zimmer always resented him from day one because he took up so much money and they couldn't keep the defense together. And I think that Zimmer wanted him to be a natural leader by himself, as Teddy Bridgewater was, and surprisingly, as Sam Bradford was. Sam Bradford just took the offense, said, it's mine, let's go. And I think that's what Zimmer wanted, as opposed to O'Connell, who said, look, I'm a former quarterback. I'm going to put my arm around you. We're going to talk every single play. And you'll see Kevin O'Connell on the sideline where the defense is out there. O'Connell's not even looking at the field. Like, he's over there talking to the quarterback, talking to the offensive guys, which, you know, when you have Brian Flores as your defensive coordinator, I think, you know, you can do that. But he is very much trying to be the quarterback who's playing the video game, punching in the buttons to Kirk, and you know, similar to McVay, similar to Kyle Shanahan. Like, that's the type of quarterback that he wanted, and Kirk is a really good fit for that. And I think we also saw the roster turnover. So a lot of the guys from the 2017 team, they had Teddy Bridgewater, who is one of the best leaders you will ever run into. People will get emotional if you ask about Teddy Bridgewater's leadership. He was that great at connecting with his teammates. So a lot of those guys played with him. And then they had Case Keenum, who was this guy you could root for. He was gritty, the miracle man, everything else. So that's very different personalities to Kirk Cousins. And I think they really struggled at first to adapt to Cousins. Plus, there were so many other guys that were already the leaders who were in that locker room for years, the Eric Kendricks, the Everson Griffin, those types of guys. But once a lot of that group moved out, then it was all young players looking at Kirk as like their uncle. Like, oh, you know, Uncle Kirk's got it in control. And I think they kind of rallied around those guys because the youth, what I've noticed, the youth really loves this. No one believes in us. Everyone hates us on social media and so forth. And they kind of made that a thing with Kirk. Like, oh, everybody's against Kirk. Well, let's rally around him. And over the last 2 years, you saw him become, I think, much more comfortable in his own skin that he's ever been in the entire time I've been there with him. And we've named him Media Good Guy of the Year this year, which I think we wouldn't have done in the past because he was a little more defensive around the media. I think because he's always felt like the media doesn't like him and he's getting criticized all the time. And so, you know, I think we did see a different personality from Kirk, which is part of the reason that this is harder for them than it normally would be, is because he was embraced more and so forth. But I did a story about the Netflix thing where I talked to a bunch of fans who watched it, and I asked every single one, I don't know, 8 to 10 fans about it. Every single one. All right. So this has changed your perspective on Kirk to watch the Netflix thing and to get a real view of how tough and dedicated and family man he is. What do you think about the future? And I think 9 out of 10 said, I'm still okay with moving on. So like his likability, his respect, all that stuff. But when you have a sample size of more than a half a decade of going nowhere, It's almost like it's not you, it's us. It's like, we can't build around you to make this actually work. So go frolic in Atlanta.
Much more with Matthew Caller in moments. Well, whatever happens with Kirk Cousins this offseason, one thing is for sure, he's going to get paid. And here's something else that's for sure. Catering by Uptown is the DMV's number one catering service. And here's something else. Catering by Uptown through the end of March is offering a special deal for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Visit cateringbyuptown.com. Set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get the discount. If you are planning a wedding, you want great service, but also a great price. Catering by Uptown provides both. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. Catering by Uptown also can help you if you're planning a party or a corporate event. Catering by Uptown is a family business. Great service, amazing cuisine, and reliability are the foundation of what makes Catering by Uptown one of the most referred caterers throughout Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. Whether you are planning a wedding, a birthday, anniversary, or retirement celebration, a charity gala, whatever, put Catering by Uptown to work for you. Catering by Uptown understands that special events deserve to be celebrated in style. Catering by Uptown takes care of every detail so that you can enjoy your event. From putting together and executing a menu, to picking linens, to selecting an excellent florist, Catering by Uptown is committed to meeting your needs and exceeding your expectations. And don't forget about the great offer for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Just visit cateringbyuptown.com, set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues, and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get that discount. Cateringbyuptown.com. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. We've been talking about the possibility of the Commanders signing Kirk Cousins this offseason with Matthew Kohler, the host of a great Vikings podcast, Purple Insider with Matthew Kohler. I do have a few non-Kirk questions, if you don't mind. The Commanders this offseason, in hiring general manager Adam Peters and head coach Dan Quinn, made use of an advisory committee that was put together by managing partner Josh Harris. The committee included former Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. He was the Vikings GM for a decade, January 2012 to January 2022. It was Spielman who signed Kirk to the Vikings. It's unclear to what extent Spielman will have a role with the Commanders beyond this advisory committee, but just out of curiosity, how do you look back upon Spielman's tenure as Vikings GM?
I think you have to draw a line in it, pre and post Kirk, because pre Kirk, they did a brilliant job of building that roster. They got the rookie quarterback contract with Teddy Bridgewater. They found some absolute diamonds in the rough. Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs. I mean, Eric Kendricks was a second round draft pick. They did an amazing job of building that roster. They made some really clever and savvy signings. They picked up Linval Joseph from the New York Giants, turned him into a star, one of the key players there. They developed players brilliantly, like, you know, Everson Griffin. It took a couple of years for him to become a superstar. They found a lockdown corner. I mean, they really did a great job building that roster to the point of 2017. But once Kirk Cousins happened, and this is why I would advise the Commanders against it, once Kirk Cousins happened, then all of a sudden, you're restricted in what you can do. And people say, oh, there's no cap and whatever. Oh, there is. There is a salary cap. And there is only so much that you can do when someone takes up 17% of that cap, which is what Kirk made up in 2021. And what ended up happening was two things. I mean, one, the best signings that they could make were sort of the third tier type of, we're going to bring in Michael Pierce or Bashaud Breeland and hope those guys are the difference. And then the other part of it was just pressure. And I think about pressure all the time. You mentioned the Dallas Cowboys, like what, or maybe that was off air, we're talking about the Cowboys. Anyway, but you know, the Cowboys, they lose in the playoffs all the time. Why do they lose in the playoffs all the time? Well, one is maybe their quarterback isn't quite on the same level as like a Mahomes. But I think the other reason is they feel the pressure all the time. Like they carry this huge Dallas Cowboy pressure and then they just choke. And I think that what happened with the Vikings front office was they carried the pressure of, we signed Kirk to compete for a championship and missed the playoffs in the first year. And they were chasing and chasing and chasing and making desperate moves all the way through the time that they got fired. And I think that it was a reflection maybe more of the position Rick Spielman was in than his football knowledge, his acumen. I have a lot of respect for Rick Spielman's history in the game. I mean, this guy knows how it works in football. He's been a scout his entire life. He was a college football player before that. Everybody knows his brother is Chris Spielman. I mean, he really understands how to build the relationships within the game, you know, make trades, make moves, make signs, all those things, draft players. So I think that having someone like him with the incredible depth of knowledge that he has is valuable. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because the Vikings fans would have told you they have one of the best front offices in the league going into 2018. And by the time Spielman was fired, they would have said, oh my gosh, if we don't get a new GM, we are in deep trouble. But a lot of this with how we grade coaches and GMs is just circumstances, is kind of how it ends up playing out in the NFL.
Your book about Pro Football Focus, the title, Football is a Numbers Game, Pro Football Focus and How a Data-Driven Approach Shook Up the Sport. I'm a big fan of PFF. I've talked about its work for years. I have a lot of people from PFF on this podcast as guests. What were some of the more interesting things that you uncovered in writing this book?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting that football was taking this turn after 2017 when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, kind of by going for fourth down a lot in the Super Bowl to beat Tom Brady. And the league started at that moment to pay a lot more attention to analytics. And a couple of years later, it seemed like every team was hiring more analytics people. And that even from our perspective in the media, if you were mentioning these advanced stats, these PFF grades, they were much more accepted as opposed to somebody in the back always yelling, "Nobody cares about the grades," or whatever. So what I sought to find out, though, is that question that everybody seems to ask is, what do they actually do for teams? Because we know the stuff that we have and what we can use, but there's always been this, well, they work with all the teams. So I wanted to find out where it came from and what they actually do. And what I found was it is influencing every single play in the NFL every single week. Every game plan, every day that coaches operate is being impacted by PFF's systems and their data science, or the, and also the data they've been able to provide to allow data scientists to study, is changing the way that teams draft. It's changing the way that they decide on their run pass ratio, when they run, when they pass, how they, you know, put together blocking scheme, all sorts of things. Every facet of football is being touched in some way by the data that PFF provides. And then everybody's big question is, well, how legitimate are the grades? And what I found was that the NFL over the years has made the grades what they are. And when they first started, it was totally legit to be like, who's this Sam Monson guy who's telling me all about these grades? Just some random guy from Scotland or whatever. And that was fair because that's how they were invented. But over the years, and I'll give you an example. I mean, they worked with Paul Alexander, a all-time great offensive line coach, to work through the kinks of the offensive line grades. And they are getting constant feedback on those grades from the league. Now, that doesn't mean that they're flawless, or that if you think, hey, I thought that guy played better. Usually there's an explanation, and we need context. We need other data. But I think as far as the legitimacy of the grades, how they're done and put together, I think people will be astounded to find out how much work actually goes into one grade that gets put down in front of you. So that was the thing that really blew my mind. And just one more little note, I talked to the Vikings general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, about the grades specifically, and he said that he uses them as a comparative tool. So they grade all the players internally, but then what is the objective business of PFF say about it? And if there's a difference, let's figure out why there's a difference. So there's a lot of different layers to it. How it got there is kind of a crazy story, but I think what I discovered was that they have put so much work into trying to make this product the best that they possibly can, and I don't think that the outside world understands that when they just see a tweet with a grade.
There are other football analytics companies. Sumer Sports is gaining steam. Sports Info Solutions and True Media are out there. Football Outsiders was out there until its unfortunate demise. But why is it that Pro Football Focus is, at least right now, the dominant football analytics company in terms of usage by NFL teams and acceptance by NFL fans?
Yeah, I think it's because they did the thing that nobody else can do, which is have actual people watch actual games and gather the data by hand, which takes an incredible amount of people, and they have graders and they have cross-checkers, and it's such a multi-layered process that took years and years to build that if you're trying to use AI to just gather data, or if you're just using box scores to gather data, those can tell you a lot of stuff, and that's great. Like, I use the DVOA tool from Football Outsiders, and they were clearly ahead in this game of analytics that kind of taught us all how to think analytically in the early days. But there's nothing that can replace somebody actually watching and charting out all of these things. And at some point, there will be AI that's smart enough to challenge them, I think, on some of this stuff. You could tell that they're working on this already. I mean, even when you watch the combine, it's like, here's a productivity score by a guy and stuff like that. But as of right now, I mean, that's, I think, the main reason why is because it's not easy to identify, you know, coverages and things like that, or route combinations and all those things that a real person who is trained on how to do it is gathering that type of data for them. So that, I think that's why for now. But will they have this stranglehold on it forever? That's yet to be seen. And that's kind of something that I also ran into, is that they are not alone in this game. There are a lot of people. Sumer Sports is one that is coming for them. There are a lot of people who are trying to be the analytics group of the NFL, where PFF has kind of held that down for a long time.
Yeah, really interesting. Great stuff. Matthew Caller, the host of a terrific Vikings podcast, Purple Insider with Matthew Caller. He also is the founder of PurpleInsider.com, and he is the author of a book about Pro Football Focus. The title of the book, Football is a Numbers Game, Pro Football Focus, and How a Data-Driven Approach Shook Up the Sport. Matthew, thank you for your time, and we shall see what happens with our guy Kirk Cousins.
We've probably ended every podcast by saying that I've ever been on with you. So thanks so much, man. Great to be on with you.
All right. Well, regardless of what happens with Kirk, no podcast or show covers the Commanders like this podcast does. And so if you would like to grow your business or practice, consider advertising on the Al Galdi podcast. Podcast advertising is very affordable, gives you a true bang for your buck. Email us, see what we can do for you. The email address is thealgaldipodcast@yahoo.com. Well, give the Wizards credit for this. They at least are finding new ways to lose. Late night on Monday night, a 127-115 loss at the Utah Jazz. The Wizards now have lost 15 consecutive games, and now for this NBA regular season are a league worst 9-52. This was quite the loss for our tanking and rebuilding Wizards. They blew a 14-point second quarter lead, a 10-point third quarter lead, and a 5-point fourth quarter lead. The Wizards allowed the Jazz to end the game on a 22-5 run. You know the saying, snatching victory from the jaws of defeat? This was snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And the Wizards lost to the Jazz despite it being without its leading scorer, Lauri Markkanen. He did not play due to a right quadriceps contusion. The Wizards did get back Bilal Coulibaly. He returned from a three-game absence caused by a right pelvis contusion. He, in 33 minutes, 13 seconds as a starter, went just 1-5 on twos and had a game-worst plus-minus rating of minus 19. He also went 1-2 on threes and 2-2 on free throws, finished with 7 points and 4 rebounds. But while Coulibaly was back, Marvin Bagley III left the game in the third quarter due to what the team called a lower back spasm. More hideous defense by the Wizards. They allowed the Jazz to score 127 points, allowed the Jazz to go 16 of 40 on threes, and allowed the Jazz to score 60 points in the paint in going 30 of 53 in the paint. The Wizards got worked by 6'5 Jordan Clarkson, who in 36 minutes, 19 seconds off the bench, went 4 of 9 on threes, 9 of 17 on twos, and 8 of 9 on free throws. He finished with 38 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists versus 1 turnover, and a game-best plus-minus rating of plus 21. Jordan Clarkson, by the way, taken by the Wizards in the second round of the 2014 NBA draft. He, the day after the 2014 draft, was traded by the Wizards to the Los Angeles Lakers for cash, and yet another instance of the Wizards throwing away a second-round pick. And the Wizards got worked by 6'1 point guard Colin Sexton, who in 33 minutes, 46 seconds as a starter, went 4-7 on 3, 7-12 on 2s, and 3-3 on free throws. He finished with 29 points, 7 assists versus 1 turnover, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals. A strange game for the Wizards offensively. The Wizards offense was great in the first half and really bad in the second half. The Wizards in the first half scored 75 points and went 10 of 20 on threes and 17 of 28 on twos, but the Wizards in the second half scored just 40 points and went just a 6 of 18 on threes and just 7 of 28 on twos. 92 of the Wizards' 115 points in this game came from just four players: Jordan Poole, Tyus Jones, Kyle Kuzma, and Deni Avdija. Jordan Poole, a very good offensive game. His defense is another story, but he, in 28 minutes, 52 seconds off the bench, went 6 of 10 on threes, 5 of 8 on twos, and 4 of 4 on free throws. He finished with 32 points, 2 steals, and 2 assists versus 3 turnovers. Poole, in that Wizards 75-point first half, scored 23 points, including going 5 of 6 on threes. Tyus Jones, he, in exactly 30 minutes as a starter, went 5 of 8 on threes and 3 of 3 on twos. He finished with 21 points, 6 assists versus no turnovers and 5 rebounds. Kyle Kuzma, 35 minutes, 22 seconds as a starter. He went just 7 of 18 from the field, 2 of 6 on threes and just 5 of 12 on twos. His shot selection in the second half was a problem, and he went just 7 of 11 on free throws. So an inefficient game for Kuzma, but he did finish with 23 points, 8 assists versus 1 turnover and 5 rebounds. And Deni Avdija, 35 minutes, 3 seconds as a starter. He had an inefficient shooting game, just 6 of 18 from the field, 0 of 4 on threes, and just 6 of 14 on twos. And he committed 5 turnovers. He did go 4 of 4 on free throws and did finish with 16 points, 11 rebounds, including 5 offensive boards and 2 assists. And next up for our Wizards, home to the Orlando Magic, Wednesday night at 7. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi Podcast at yahoo.com. Wednesday show, episode 777. We'll include a lot for you on the Commanders. Also on Wednesday show, I'll talk college basketball. Georgetown is home to Providence Tuesday night at 7. Virginia Tech is at Louisville Tuesday night at 7. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
I want to be where I'm wanted.